All right, tonight, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians, and it will be in chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he is telling them about the ministry that the Lord has given him. He says, we have received that ministry by the mercy of the Lord. And Paul says, we faint not. And by that, he just simply means we go forward. He's not drawing back. He goes on forward in the ministry, even though there are hardships and difficulties in the Christian life, not just the ministry per se, but in our Christian life, we have many obstacles to overcome, but we faint not. We go forward. But I want us to look tonight. I'm sure we've used this a number of times in referencing to other places and even messages probably on this. But the Bible says here, if our gospel be hid. And I read that this week, and I thought, the gospel hid, the hidden gospel. How does that happen? How does the gospel that gives light become a hidden gospel? And I believe the Bible gives us some insight to that. I believe we're living in an age when the gospel is becoming covered and hidden more than has been in days gone by, because of different methods and means and different things that people use to distort. And Paul here even talks about the deceitfulness. He says in verse number 2, he talks about the hidden things of dishonesty, and walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There are some keys to what takes place in society, that there is craftiness. There are those things that are deceitful. There are those things and those people that use the word of God, and they use it really deceitfully to as servants of the wicked one, to bring about deception in the lives of people. We must understand, we must remember that the devil wants to make sure we do not hear the gospel. The devil wants to make sure the world doesn't hear the true gospel. Now, he doesn't care for us to give out a wrong gospel or a gospel that has error mixed in with it, because without the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord, then people are not going to heaven anyway. And so this afternoon, I want us to think about, how does the gospel become hidden? In our physical lives, there are many things that comes to our mind that are important to us. But if we're not careful, they'll not be revealed to the generation that is to come. The generation that is past, we can do nothing about that. The generation that is present, it has already many times made its own choices and decisions and made its own way. But there is a generation that is to come that as a Christian, we need to make sure they have the same opportunity and the same same chance to hear the truth of what salvation is all about, how to go to heaven. Much of our generation doesn't even believe in heaven and hell. Much of it does not believe in the Word of God as being the inspired message of the Lord. And so if the gospel is hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. Well, how does the devil hide the gospel? Now, we are interested as a Christian. We are thankful for our homes. We are thankful for our jobs. We're thankful for our financial means. We're thankful for family and certainly thankful for our health. And on and on we could go with those things that God has blessed us with. But if we're not careful, the next generation will not have the same spiritual the same spiritual blessings that we have tonight. And so in regard to our spiritual lives, how do we convey that? How do we tell people about our salvation and tell it in a way that they will understand? Not only understand, but be convinced that what we are saying is not just a fairy tale, but something that is real. We have the scriptures that we can reveal to folks. We have the message to give out. We have the Holy Spirit, as we dealt with this morning, that lives within us. We have churches that preach the truth. We have families that are saved, and we are secure in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these are very important. We have that, but what about the generation to come? What about our grandchildren, great-grandchildren? How about those that we may never meet, but they need to hear the message of salvation? So these things that are essential to you and I are essential to them. The things that are extremely important to us in our spiritual life will be just as important to those that that come after us. As you look around the world, different countries, different methods, they have different cultures, they have different climate. I know when we were in the Philippines, it's a total different world than here. When we were in Wales, it's a total different world than the Philippines and here. And so every country has its own peculiarities and has its own climate, has its own culture, but it has the same need. Everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to hear of the gospel. But the devil is very active. He's very busy trying to make sure that they do not hear. I remember one of the stories that I've read a number of times concerning the Welsh revival there in Wales back in the early part of the 1900s. There's a man by the name of Evan Roberts, and he got very burdened for his people and for his country. He got very burdened. He was a man that had a desire to see people come to have a closer walk with God. As he went across Wales and around his area, he saw all the needs that were there. He saw all the problems that were very prevalent. And he began to be very, very burdened about his nation. He heard a Presbyterian evangelist preach, and his name was Seth Joshua. And he heard the message that evangelist preached that night, and it burdened his heart so bad that he determined that he was going to do all that he could to bring everybody that was available to him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a dorm mate or a roommate as they were in college, and they began to discuss the need of their country. And Evan Roberts asked his friend, he said, "Do you think God would give us 100,000 souls?" That's a big number, 100,000. "Do you think God could do that? Do you think God would do that?" And so... They began to preach all across the country of Wales, and before it was over with, there's over 100,000 people that came to know the Lord. And what a monument he was to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he was doing was taking that was hidden from those folks and revealing the truth of the Word of God. As we traveled around a few places in Wales, I stood in a little old church that Evan Roberts preached in, and stood behind the pulpit that he used. And they had a picture there of their gathering, and the little old building, probably it wouldn't hold as many people as this center section here, but they had hundreds of people outside as he preached there in that particular place. And the sad part about it, that gospel now is hidden to them once again. Somewhere they lost it. Somewhere World War II was very devastating to that country. And somewhere along the line, they lost the message of the gospel. And churches that he had preached in that was filled, I stood in, and they had 3 and 4 and 10 and 12 people. They had had everything set up for it. I think I relayed this to you when we got back. There was a church there that had their Sunday school area, and everything was set up. And they were a little larger church than most that we had seen. And so I asked the folks. I said, "Is this where you have Sunday school?" She said, "Oh no, we don't have Sunday school anymore. This is just the way it was back in years gone by." And they almost have it as a monument to the past, not thinking of the future. And they had, I think, 7 people in church that day, a building that would hold probably 200. And so the gospel's hidden once again. And the first message that Evan Roberts preached had 4 points. And he preached to a group of 17 people. Now that doesn't sound like 100,000. But that's a start. And he preached these 4 points that are so very, very true and real. Number 1 point was confess all your known sin. Just confess that to God. He says, deal with and get rid of any doubtful habits in your life. Number 3, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly. And number 4, confess Christ publicly. And he preached that message, and from different place to different place, God used him, and hundreds of thousands came to know the Lord. And you can read about the Welsh Revival in books and on the internet, and just a miracle taking place, a working of the Spirit of God, an awakening to a people that the gospel had been hidden. The gospel message had been distorted and had been turned away. And today it has gone back to that. And you know what I see in America taking place? The very same thing. We don't have the classical churches that they had and have in Wales. Some of the churches were very immaculately of the old style and very beautiful, and they maybe 4 or 5 people keep them up and make sure everything's clean, and they'll meet there maybe once a month and have 8 or 10 people, and then some of the buildings are used for a once-a-year harvest thing that they have, and the building will be full, and they'll have their singing conventions. But as far as the gospel, it's just very, very null and void. And so what has happened there can happen here. It can happen anywhere because the gospel can be hidden. The gospel, the truth, that which gives light, that reveals the truth of salvation, can be so hidden that no one will hear it, no one will know it, and then they die without the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just look at three or four different things tonight on how is our gospel hid. What causes it? What has made that take place? When Paul wrote those words there in verse number 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Well, how is the gospel hid? How is it hidden? How does that happen? What takes place? What process goes on to distort and destroy and hide the truth of God's Word? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. One of the ways that the gospel can be hidden is to reject God's plan of the continuation of the message. God has a pattern. God has a plan. God has a way to make sure His message is continually propagated to generation after generation. In Exodus chapter number 12, and of course when you come to the 12th chapter of Exodus, you're dealing with the Passover. You're dealing with those things that are happening in Egypt. And of course, the Lord is giving them a way of escape. And certainly, the gospel is not in Exodus. It's in the New Testament. But the principle is given here when you look at how God tells His people to make sure to remember what takes place. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 24. Well, let's look back at verse number 21 and we'll read down. Exodus 12 and 21 says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it on the lintel and on the two side posts with the blood that in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." God says when you do this, you're going to observe this from now on. And here's what he says. "And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he has promised, and ye shall keep this service, it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service?" What do you mean by doing, what does this represent? They're doing the Passover. Of course, that observance was to remember that night that the death angel passed over the Jews' house because the blood was applied. And the blood being on the doorpost. And the Lord says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I said the gospel maybe is not in Exodus as the gospel, but the principle of it is of finding the blood of the Lamb applied to the door or applied to the household, and then the death angel not coming by and destroying that family. And he says here, in our reading, the children will say unto you, "What mean ye by this service?" And ye shall say, what is this? This is testimony. "And ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, whom passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." And you'll look in the next verse, "And the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt." Israel was protected that night because they obeyed the word of God. They obeyed the command that God had given to Moses and given to Aaron. And the Lord says, now there's coming a time when you're going to leave Egypt. You're going to come out of this place. You're going... And Moses said, "You're going to the land the Lord has promised us." And he said, "When you do this and you commemorate this in that land, your children are going to say, What does this mean? What does this service mean?" And then you just tell them about the Lord saving our household. You know, tonight the Lord has a plan of continuing the message, not only to the Jew in the Passover, and they still observe, they still tell their children that, of course, they're mixed up and they're confused and they're deceived on the gospel, but they are still honestly telling the generation to come that this is the Lord's Passover. This is what God did for us in the land of Egypt. This is why our homes and our family was. This is why our firstborn was not destroyed, because we obeyed God. And they tell their children, and every generation tells the next generation. Psalm number 78, we've read that verse, those verses so many times. I used to use them and sometimes do use them in our opening of school, because it talks about the Word of God and talks about how that a father gives to his child and his the next generation and the next generation, that the generation to come might know that He is the Lord. And so God has a plan of continuing the message. It's not a plan that we just write down and read it and say, well, it'll work. But it's a plan that is told. It's a plan that is given, and it is a plan to give to family after family, year after year, generation after generation. I wrote down here, my father told me the story. I tell my children. Children are born to my children, and they pick up the same process and tell their children, that the generation to come might know that there is a God in heaven. Thank God tonight He's in heaven, but He is, for the most part, many times forgotten. In the gospel story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is. It is forgotten in many areas because somebody down the generational times has failed in what they're supposed to do. And if you have a gap in between there, you're going to have a gap in the message. You're going to have a gap in many people coming and not knowing, and the gospel will be hid. The gospel will be overshadowed and not known in the lives of people. So there's a way that the gospel's hid, and it's just rejecting God's plan. Somebody said, well, I got a better plan. Well, you can't improve on God's plan. Somebody said, well, I got a better method. You can't improve on God's method. You can't improve on God's message. You can't improve on any of those things. And so therefore, we sometimes just reject, as a generation, we reject the old-time way. We reject the ways of days gone by, that there's got to be an easier, got to be a better way of telling people about the Lord. But there's no better than mouth to ear. There's no better method than telling our children in our homes about the gospel, about the story. When the salvation begins in a life, in a family, wherever it is, then that gospel is to be continued on from generations to come. I go back to my father because out of his family before him probably did not know the Lord. He got saved and became a Christian and became faithful to the house of God. And then the history is there that we were always in church. That was him telling my generation. And my generation is to be telling the generation to come, and then even on to grandchildren and children after that. So the gospel can be hidden if we do not obey and if we reject the continuation of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another thing that will destroy the gospel. There's another thing that will destroy the effectiveness of teaching from truth. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Here again is another passage of Scripture that we've used a lot of times in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 11. There's a man, certain man had two sons, and we know the story. The younger said, Father, give me that which is rightfully mine. And he divided his living between his two children. One goes off in riotous living. Now he goes off without the blessings of his father. And the Scripture tells us here that he departed and he wasted his substance. We find that sometimes the gospel can be hidden by the living that people desire and people choose in their life to live. They no longer want to be under the influence of authority of the Scripture or authority of the household. And so this young man, he said, I'm going to go make my living. I'm going to do what I want to do. And in doing that to himself for a while, he hid that gospel. And no one knew, even had any idea of what kind of home that he came out of. Of course, this is a story that is given to us, and this is a parable that the Lord uses to teach the publicans and the sinners, and to show them that there is a way, that there's a truth, there is a life, and He uses the illustrations of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then those two sons. Well, the gospel was hidden because He chose a lifestyle that would no longer be conducive to His father's generation or to His father's words. And so He departs and He goes out and He gathers all together. And the scripture says He wasted His substance, righteous living, and He spent all. He spent everything that His father had given Him. He spent it all. And it says, there arose a mighty famine in the land and began to be in want. And He went and joined Himself to a citizen of that country. Now remember, He's gone to a far country. He joins Himself to a individual or a citizen of where He was. And this man sends Him out into his field to feed the swine. Now that is the most degrading thing that a Jewish boy could ever do. To go out and feed a pig. That swine, that particular animal is very filthy to a Jew. So here he is, and he's out there as a Jew, but now he's wandering around just like everybody else because he's not hearing the gospel. He's not accepting what had been given to him. He's rejecting that. So he goes to feed the swine, and he even eats the swine's food. How low can an individual go? How bad can it get? But while he's there, he comes to himself, and he makes the statement. He said, I have my father's servants have it better than I do. So I'm just going to go home, and I'm going to tell my father I'll just be a hired servant. I'll not have to do this. And so his recreational time, his righteous living, hid the gospel from those all around him. I believe he knew the truth. I believe he had the truth. But he had rejected that, and now he comes home, and the father is so joyous that my son that was lost, my son that was dead, my son that was gone, he's come home, and now we will rejoice and make merry. So we reject God's plan. We live our own life. We do the things we want to do, and all those times, many times, hide the gospel. Now, there's another thing that sometimes we don't realize, but religion will hide the gospel. Religion. The word religion has a lot of meanings, has a lot of thoughts. When you hear the word religion, have you ever had anybody ask you, what religion are you? Oh yeah, that's a pretty common thing. What religion are you? And they have no idea really what they're saying. And we're not of a religion. Thank God we are of a person. We are a Christian. But I know what they mean. I understand what they're asking. They really want to know, what do you believe? What group of people are you around? What are you? Are you a Baptist? Are you a Methodist? Are you Presbyterian? Are you Catholic? They just want to know what religion you are, because to them, that's all they understand. And religion is that which has come about in all these many years, and it's always been an enemy of the true gospel. You can read history of Christianity. You can read history of especially the Baptists from the early times of Christ and after the resurrection, the ascension. You can find that there has been religious problems with people all along the way. And religion has formulated itself into a replacement of what true salvation is to bring us. A lot of religions in the world. My, you can just go to the dictionary, you can go to the internet, you can just find all kind of religions. They have all kind of different ways and different thoughts, and they'll all have their different way of going to heaven. When our Bible says there's only one way, and that's through Christ. And so religion will muddy it up. Religion will put a shadow religion will hide the gospel. I can think of different religions, and they all have their different ways of going to heaven. There are religions that say you've got to be a member of this particular group or this particular church in order to go to heaven. That's not the gospel. There are those that say, well, you've got to learn certain things, and you've got to go through the catechism, and you've got to make an A, and you've got to know all the ins and outs of what religion is about. That's not salvation. There are those that believe you've got to go through the baptismal waters. There are those that believe you have just different, what could we call it, hoops to jump through, things that you've got to accomplish. And all those things will hide the gospel. All those things will deteriorate the message of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Religion is against gospel. Religion has always been against the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the religious Jews that said, we'll not have him rule over us. It was those religious Jews that said, he's not our Messiah. Crucify him, destroy him. That was religion speaking. And you can read of all the wars in the world, just about all of them have been religious wars and have connections with that which hides the gospel. Religion really is an enemy of the true church. Those of us that are born again, those of us that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and religion will tear it down and will destroy it. Wales and Europe are prime examples of what happens when religion takes precedence over pure religion. The Bible talks about a pure religion. The Bible talks about a false religion. There's a dead religion. There's all kinds of religions. And you can look around the world and, the high churches. If you watched any of the ceremonies of the wedding there in Great Britain, that's high church. That's religion at its highest. They may speak about Jesus Christ. They may talk about the Lord, but they have no idea what the gospel is because it's been hidden for so many generations. So we reject God's plan. We have our way of life. We have our religion. And America is a very religious country, by the way. This morning, multitudes went to different churches. They went there because of religion. And thank God we have much more than just religion. And then the last thing, I believe it all comes down to this word here. It's the word rebellion. Rebellion hides the gospel. Over in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the story of the incomplete obedience of Saul. The Lord tells him to do a certain thing, and he does not do that. He does not destroy all the enemies, and he thinks he's got a better way. And he rebels against the word of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in verse number 23, here we find Samuel talking to Saul. And he says in verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul, God had told Saul, said, destroy all the animals of the enemy, destroy everything, totally annihilate them. And Saul saw all the different things and all the animals, and he said, well, we'll just offer them to the Lord. And we'll not kill them all, and we'll not kill the king, and I've got a better way. And so the Lord tells through Samuel, there's just obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want the blood of those bulls and goats of the enemy. God doesn't want it. God said destroy. And so Saul took it in his own hands, and he said he even convinces himself that he had done what God said. You know, isn't it amazing how people can be convinced of falsehood? Isn't it amazing how people be convinced that they've done what they're supposed to do? For Saul tells Samuel in verse 20, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. No, he did not obey the voice of God. And so Saul says it's better to be obedient than it is to have sacrifice unto the Lord. Notice verse 23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This is Saul's death blow upon him and his kingdom. God says, you do it this way. Saul says, I've got a better way. And God says, you're finished. What rebellion there is in this world. Just rebellious hearts everywhere you look. Sometimes it seems as though it's a simple thing or a little thing, but it's still rebellion. Rebellion against authority, rebellion against that which is given to us in the Scripture. I was reading an article this morning out of Lexington, and the whole problem was because of rebellion. High school, I think it's Bryan Station High School there in Lexington area. A lot of their students didn't get to graduate because they broke two rules. They didn't dress the way they were told to dress, and they were not on time. Isn't that simple? I'm glad there's a school that says here's what you do, and it showed the flower. It showed the things that all the students had, and it says no exception. But then you have all this hoopla because, well, that's just not fair to my students. They said dress pants, dress shirt, and a tie. And so some of them said, well, we think we're going to go in tennis shoes and blue jeans and a pullover. Well, guess what? They didn't walk. Somebody said, well, that's harsh. Some of them didn't get there. They got there 5 minutes late just to see, to push. Guess what? They didn't go. They didn't walk. You know what? I know we think that's trivial, and maybe some of it is, but a rule is there for a reason. It's there for a reason. And all they had to do was be on time and wear the right clothes. You know what the bottom problem is? Rebellion. Just a simple thing. Just rebellion. I'm going to do it my way. Well, that's the generation we live in. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Who are you to tell me? Rules are made to be broken. No, rules are made to be followed. And usually the rules are there for a reason and for a purpose. I think I heard Brother George talking here before church. He said usually the laws or the rules that were in the mines were there because to make people be safe. And when something wasn't safe, they'd make a rule that you had to go by just to keep you safe. And I have found here in all these years of our school, and we have the fire marshal come by, we have the different people come by, and all the rules they have that I heard all my life was they're just picking on the Christian. They're not picking on Christians. There are rules to keep children safe that we're not smart enough to do without somebody telling us. That's really what it comes down to. We'll not do it unless we have to. And we can rebel against it, but it's not going to do any good. We can rebel against the Word of God. Not going to do any good. You know what it'll do? It'll hide the gospel. It'll hide the power of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's not a very good combination there. And so bottom line, I believe, of all these things that we mentioned tonight is the problem of rebellion. Main problem of our country tonight is rebellion. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You may say I can, I'll show you I can. You tell me I need to, I'll show you I don't have to. And it's multiplying over and over again. May God help us to send forth the gospel, that it not be hidden. And Paul says if it's hidden to those that are lost. But how does it get hidden? It's sometimes the actions of the saved. May the Lord help us to give the gospel, show the gospel, preach the gospel, and not be ashamed of it. of the gospel of Christ. Let's stand tonight.